Welcome to Leading Lights. You are about to hear a message from Lighthouse Church.
Hello there. Has anyone ever said to you, "I feel God wants to say this to you"? It's called prophecy, and it's a very big and important topic. You know, Christianity is different from most of the other religions and belief systems because in all the others, they have prophets, but those prophets died many years ago. They are not still prophesying. Whereas Christianity, as far as I'm aware, is the only major religion that says that all Christians can still prophesy. And because of that, there is so much confusion and misunderstanding. What is the difference between a prophet who wrote the Bible, a prophet who has a title of a prophet, a person who can prophesy, preaching, all these different ways that the word can be used? What is it all about? And so today, because there is a lot of talking about prophecy at the moment, and because it is causing confusion, and some people are having a lot of stress and pain because of prophecies that were maybe not right or the way they've been handled, I want to deal with prophecy in one talk today. So let me start with 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. He says, "Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good." That little phrase sums it all up, what I'm going to say today. He says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy. So the first half, he's saying that there is this flame. Quench means to put out a flame. He says there is this flame of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift. You remember on the day of Pentecost, flames came down on all the Christians and they started to prophesy and speak in tongues. The flame or the gift or the power of the Holy Spirit is something that God wants to give to all Christians. He says the first half, do not quench that, do not dampen it, do not restrict it. And he gets more specific. He says, do not despise prophecies. In other words, don't reject, don't ignore, don't minimize prophecies. Very important, because I think some of us have gone that way. Many, many Christians have said, well, I've seen it abused, misused. I don't understand it, so I'm going to ignore it. And we're in danger of quenching the spirit and despising prophecies. The second half, he says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. This is the other extreme. Some Christians have gone across the road to the other ditch, which says, I'm just going to accept prophecy and I'm going to elevate it to a level that is too high, where it's too important. It's more important than God ever intended for it to be. And prophecy becomes a big issue in their lives to the point where they are not using their discernment. It says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. In other words, there are some things that are called the fire of the Spirit, that are called prophecy, but they're not good. He says, hold fast only to what is good, test all things. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. That's the one side. The other side is test all things and get it in its right place. So I want to start by comparing Old Testament prophets to New Testament. I'm going to be comparing quite a few things today. And the aim is to help you understand what is prophecy all about and how does it apply to my life. So Old Testament prophets were people who often wore funny clothing. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Even though he was in our Bible in the New Testament, he was the last prophet before Jesus. And the New Testament or the New Covenant or the new way of God relating to us starts with Jesus. And so John the Baptist was the last of those Old Testament prophets. And in fact, Jesus said there was no greater Old Testament prophet than him. But we see them proclaiming God's word. And the first thing about them is they were lone rangers. Old Testament prophets were a voice crying out in the wilderness, and they were crying out to a huge multitude, sometimes to the nation, sometimes to kings or important people. They were bringing a message. One prophet would speak to many, many people. Whereas in the New Testament, we are all prophets. We are all supposed to be able to prophesy. We are all supposed to hear God's voice and be led by the Spirit. Romans 8 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. It's an amazing difference. Old Testament, one man speaks for God and everyone listens. New Testament, everyone can hear from God. It's so, so different. Now, why am I bringing these distinctions? Because distinctions help us to understand something better. When we bring categories and classifications according to God's word, not our own ideas, then we understand. And the important distinction is Old Testament prophets are different to New Testament. One man who would proclaim and declare. The second thing about the Old Testament prophets is they couldn't be wrong. They couldn't be wrong. If they were wrong, they were put to death. If they said, God says this, they were put to death. Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 13 speaks about the death penalty for Old Testament prophets if they get it wrong even once. Why? Well, because they were the only Lone Ranger voice speaking for God, he would visit them in a very powerful way that came through their outside five senses. They would see him, they would hear him, there would be some kind of message given to them, and they couldn't mistake it. Because God was speaking to them from the outside, they couldn't get it wrong. They couldn't say, God has said this, when actually he hadn't said anything or he'd said something else. And so they deserved to be punished if they got it wrong, because they were leading the nation astray. In the New Testament, it says that we get it wrong. You say, Greg, can that be true? Does the Bible say that New Testament prophets can get it wrong? Well, I've just read you from 1 Thessalonians 5, which says, test all things, test all prophecies. And that theme is played out in several other verses. Let me read them to you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 12, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we know in part, then we shall know just as we are known. The Bible says that in the New Testament, we understand God's voice differently. Why is that? Well, because in the Old Testament, there was one guy who was leading the whole nation with God's words, and he got the information from an outside source. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and it comes, it filters through our own spirit, our own mind, our own emotions, our own experience, and it's hard to know sometimes what is God's voice, what are my emotions, which parts are which, and it's a different way of hearing from God. Now, I'm not saying God can't appear to people and speak to them anymore. Of course he can. But we see in the New Testament again and again and again references to prophecy as to something that is in part, that is dimly in a mirror or through a glass, that cannot be fully understood. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Let the others judge what is being spoken. And there are many examples of people who thought they were hearing from the Lord in the New Testament Christian church, and it wasn't fully right, and they weren't put to death. They weren't cast out of the church. They weren't called false prophets. We are supposed to judge, and it is a normal part of life. Let me just give you one example. In Acts chapter 21, Paul and his friends arrive in a town called Caesarea. They go to stay with a man called Philip the evangelist, who was a great hero of the church. 20 years earlier, he'd been involved in great revival campaigns. It says that he had four daughters who prophesied. So there's Philip, the great one. There's Paul, the one who wrote parts of the Bible, arriving with Luke and Timothy and Mark, who also wrote parts of the Bible. And then there's Philip, the great evangelist. He's got four daughters who prophesy. Then it says Agabus, the great prophet of the church, the New Testament church, arrives as well. It's like a convention of all the main Christian leaders. And Agabus comes up to Paul and he takes his belt and he ties his hands and he says, thus says the Lord, the man who owns this belt will be tied up by the Jews like this in Jerusalem. And it says, let me just read it to you, Acts chapter 21. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. So this is Luke writing. He says, when we heard these things, we, that's us, Paul's companions and associates, many of whom are Bible writers, and those from that place, that's Agabus and Philip and his four prophesying daughters, we all pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Listen to what Paul says. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. In the New Testament, Paul doesn't say, you, Luke, and all of you others, Philip and your four daughters and all these other people, you need to be punished because you're false prophets, because you told me not to go to Jerusalem. He says, no. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Friends, we hear in part, we prophesy in part, we don't get it fully right. I am the one who this prophecy is aimed at. And because we can all hear from the Lord, as many as are led by the Lord are the sons of God, I will tell you what God is saying. Yes, I will be bound. That part of the prophecy you heard correctly. But I am supposed to go to Jerusalem. It's not telling me not to go. It's just warning me to be ready when I get there. And there are many examples like that where people heard in part. In Acts 16, Paul thought he was supposed to go to Ephesus, to Asia. He was blocked. He thought he should go to Bithynia. He was blocked. He went to a place called Troas, and he had a vision from the Lord of a man in Macedonia calling him to go and evangelize. They go across to Macedonia, and all the people they see at the beginning, all the first converts are women. Did he hear wrong? Should he be cast out and stoned as a false prophet? No, we know in part, we prophesy in part. So Old Testament prophets were lone rangers and they never got it wrong. New Testament prophets, we can all prophesy, and we've got to judge it in an attitude of understanding. It's not a perfect science. I hope that helps you. Now I want to just tell you about several types of prophecy. The first is Bible writers. Now this I think will help you so much. In 2 Peter 1 verse 20, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the first category, Peter says, there are prophets that bring Scripture. Now, what is Scripture? This idea of Scripture is that God has given certain writings. The word Scripture comes from the word meaning writings. God has given a book authored by many different people. There are over 40 different writers of the Bible over several thousand years, over several countries and continents, three different languages, so many different professions and backgrounds and racial backgrounds. And yet it is one book called Scripture. The idea is that God has given a book from many different writers that he has called Scripture, and it is on a different level to human understanding, to human ideas, to any other book you could find on the planet. Scripture. Why do I say this exists? Because Jesus mentioned Scripture so much. He said the Scripture cannot be broken. Whenever he was challenged, he would answer with, it is written, quoting Scripture. Now you might say, well, how do we know that this book is Scripture, and why did they leave out those other books and letters and gospels? Friends, there is so much evidence. You know, in the first 200 years after Jesus left planet Earth, there were so many letters written between different Christians and churches, and just there are thousands and thousands of letters. And if we took all those letters and we took all the quotes of Bible verses just from those letters between people, you can reconstruct the whole of the New Testament, and obviously much of the Old Testament we already knew was finished and complete. But you can reconstruct the whole of the New Testament, except I think for 9 verses. There are thousands of manuscripts from the first 200 years of the Bible writings, and there is evidence, much evidence, that different churches who were not talking to one another by email or telephone, there were isolated churches all over the planet, all chose to use the same books of the Bible that we use. And it was eventually codified in 300 and something AD. They had a council and they said, yes, we all agree, these are the books. But it wasn't one person saying, these are the books you must use. They all listened to the Holy Spirit and chose the same books and rejected the other books because this is scripture. It is different to human writing and it cannot be added to. At the end of Revelation, he says, you can't add to this. And in Jude, it says, the faith has been given to us once for all. It can't be changed or added to or taken away from. The scripture is different. And Peter starts by saying there is a prophecy of scripture that now cannot be added to. Nobody can say, I'm going to add to scripture. Many cults have tried to do that. They've said, I'm a prophet, I'm going to add another book, another section, and that's just not going to happen. So we know that that is the first category of prophecy is scripture, and it's finished. Please get that clear. It's on a higher level. In fact, it is the one thing that is infallible. God's word says that it is, the scripture is perfect and cannot be broken. And so we know that scripture is the gold standard by which we judge everything else. The second level is prophets, people who have a title of prophet. Now, what is a title? It's basically when we recognize someone's gifting to an extent where we say that is their main function. You know, in a school, there'll be many people who are good at explaining things to other people. Some of them are working in the accounts department, some in the canteen, some of them are pupils, and they're good at explaining things. But there are a few we give the title teacher because that is their role, that is their main role, and they have a function of doing that thing. And prophet is one of those. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These people have a role where they equip and empower and enable others to do the work of the ministry. And prophets mainly enable others to hear from God, to prophesy themselves. And not everyone who prophesies is a prophet, but everybody I'm going to show you is able to hear from God. But prophets are those who have a role of empowering the church. Now, prophets were never lone rangers in the New Testament. They went around often with an apostle or usually in a body structure where they were one of the leaders of a group. So in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and it lists five of them, and they led the church. There are people who have that role. Now, preaching is sometimes linked to prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, you can all prophesy so that we can all be encouraged and we can all learn. So sometimes that's clearly giving the idea that prophecy is not just saying, thus saith the Lord, but it's sometimes giving something to somebody to encourage them and so they can learn, but it's God's words. And that would normally come from somebody who has a position. So we've got we got the Bible writers, we've got people with the title of prophet. What about those who prophesy a lot, but they're not entitled prophets, but they do it a lot? This is another category. I've already told you about Philip's four daughters. Acts 21 verse 9 says, Philip had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Everyone knew they prophesied a lot. They were able to use their gift a lot. They weren't called prophets, but they used their gift a lot. And many places in the Bible, we see women prophesying, men, young and old. So people who prophesy a lot, they kind of don't have the title, but people know that they do it a lot. Then there's the use of prophecy in public meetings. So 1 Corinthians 12 gives a list of nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the benefit of everybody. So these are gifts to be used in church. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it says in the church, God has appointed apostles, prophets, those who speak in tongues and all these different things. So this is a public use of a gift. Prophecy in church meetings. And it says that not everyone does it often in public meetings. And then the last category is everybody can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 31 says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on everyone, I want you to imagine this scene. They've been waiting. The Old Testament is finished. Jesus has died, and now they're waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the start of the church and the new covenant. And as the Holy Spirit is poured out, 120 people have tongues of fire come upon them. There's a sound like a rushing wind, and they all start to speak in other languages, all 120, not just the 12 apostles, not just the men. It was old and young, men and women, obscure and great. Everybody was filled with the Spirit, all 120. They all started to speak. And the crowd said to Peter, "What is going on?" And he said this. Verse 16, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your own old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." He says the sign of this new covenant is everybody who is part of God's family can prophesy. And he says tongues is prophecy in this case, because it's speaking God's words, albeit in a language you don't understand. But I want you to see that this indicates there's this theme that we can all prophesy. Now, I want to just close by emphasizing these two ditches. We've learned a lot. We've spoken a lot about how prophecy works, and there are many instructions, especially in 1 Corinthians 14, about public meetings. Let me just read it to you. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, "How is it then, brethren?" In other words, let me sum this up for you. "Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation," and he's talking in the context of prophecies and everything else. He says, each one can bring something. He says, "Let all things be done for edification." In public meetings, it's for building others up. "If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let the tongue speaker keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God." So you find out if it's going to edify others, not just for your own benefit. Then he says, "Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge." So we judge because it's not always correct. "If anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, all may be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." New Testament prophecy is different. It's not just one lone ranger telling you what the, you know, what the nation must do. No, it's for encouragement, for learning. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, "He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." And the reason we judge it is because we've got to say sometimes a person out of good intentions says, "No, you mustn't go to Jerusalem." And we need somebody to say, "No, that either doesn't line up with God's word, or we don't actually think that's exactly right for now." Or the person receiving the prophecy can say, "You know what, if God is going to say that, because we can all hear from God, he'll tell me if that's true, and I don't witness with that right now, so I'm not going to do it." Can you see how prophecy in the New Testament is so different from the Old? But let me just talk about this balance. Going back to 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, he says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies." Friends, I have seen people who have been hurt by prophecy. They've had somebody tell them, "This is what the Lord is saying," and they've obeyed it, and it's turned out bad. And so they say, "I'm going to despise prophecies," or ignore prophecies, or minimize prophecies. And what they're doing is they're quenching the Spirit. But he says, "Test all things and hold fast to what is good." In another place, 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "Pursue love, desire." That word desire, sometimes translated lust, he says, really want spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14, 39, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." So we've got to be careful we don't minimize prophecy, but we've also got to be careful that we don't elevate it to a place and to a level that God never intended. Friends, prophecy is not the same as the Bible. The Bible is infallible God's word. If you want to hear from God, you don't have to phone up a line and say, please, will someone give me a word? You don't have to go to a prophet and say, speak God's word to me. You just have to read the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me from your word. All of us can hear from God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know and follow me. We hear his voice, all of us. And you can, with the Bible and with God's Spirit inside of you, judge and ascertain what is right. But we got to be careful. I believe the church today is in danger of misusing prophecy, of elevating it too high or pushing it too low. And we've got to get the right balance. We've got to put prophecy where it really belongs. And I believe that when we do this, when we use prophecy in public meetings, when we're all listening, when we realize it is fallible, but we still seek it and we listen to God and we're not blown away, of course, by every prophecy or every word, but we hear from God for ourselves. When we get this, what we're doing is we're fanning to flame the gift of God. You know, in Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, fan to flame the gift of God that was given in you by the laying on of my hands and by prophecy. We mustn't quench the flame. We must be filled with the Spirit and receive the flame. But then we fan to flames. We say, God, give me prophecies. And when we ask, he gives. Can I encourage you to pray this prayer with me? Lord, please help me to be guided by your voice, not to put prophecy too high or too low, to love your word and to let this flame of your Holy Spirit guide me. But Lord, I choose to be guided by the correct place for New Testament prophecy. And I want to see the power of your flame and your gift at work in my life, in my church meetings, and in the world around me. Guide me and help me. And Lord, for the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide, please help us. Help us, Lord, not to despise prophecy, but to test it and to use it and to hold fast to what is good. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Please visit leadinglightsnetwork.com and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please consider supporting this ministry by making a donation on the giving page at leadinglightsnetwork.com or lighthousejersey.com.